Well, grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to give you a little background here before I get started, see, because I'm running out of stories, everybody. It's what happens when you're at a place for almost, well, for a decade. I'm running out of stories. And so I was thinking about this, you know, throughout this last week, and it finally occurred, a story kind of finally came to mind, but then I was like, man. Because you see, usually I say, oh, it was a friend of mine, but this wasn't a friend. I went to high school. They were acquaintance. But, you know, I went to a small high school. Now, not as small as Manitou, but not even close to Pekin. So it was a small high school, class of 140 kids. So that was my class. So I was friends with many of them, but I wasn't friends with all of them. But you see, that's just it. This story doesn't even have to do with my friend, or with my acquaintance, but in fact with his brother. His brother. But honestly, before we even get going on with that, I just wanted to clarify that so I don't say, oh, this is my friend. He's not my friend. He's an acquaintance. I don't even know where he is these days. But, quite frankly, this goes back even further. It doesn't even go back to him. It goes back not even to his dad, but in fact to his grandfather, who one day in 1965 went to the dealer and bought a fabulous car. Well, fabulous in his eyes anyway, if you like those kind of things. It was, of course, a 1965 El Camino. Now, some of you don't like El Caminos. I love El Caminos. In fact, in my senior year of high school, I drove something that looked like that. And yes, it even had a nice little racing stripe. It was kind of fun. It was a fun car. But anyway, that's not the one we're talking about. We're talking about the 1965. Pristine condition. He kept it in pristine condition, but eventually it became almost like a family heirloom. And eventually the dad got the car. And even when I was in high school, I heard story of this car. You know, I couldn't even tell you the engine it had in it, but it must have been something significant. They bragged about this car. They loved this car, but here was the thing. Dad wanted the car to be in pristine condition. And so, if you were to ever get in a ride in this vehicle, and again, I never got a ride because I was only an acquaintance. But if you ever got a ride in this car, there was no eating. There was no drinking in the car. There was no doing anything that might mess up the car in any capacity. You almost had to wear gloves to open the door. The way they made it sound, you had to take your shoes off getting in a car. But that was the way he was. It was a pristine thing. And I remember hearing tell about this car and hearing tell about how it was and how many rules the dad had and how many rules that he had that went with this car and how restrictive it was. And it was almost no fun to ride in. By the time you followed all the rules, it just felt like there was just no fun left. And that was the way it was. I bring this up because one of the things that we are talking about today is obviously this group from Galatia. We're in the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 3. So since we're in chapter 3, allow me to give you a little bit of background since we missed chapter 1 and so on and so forth. And by the way, I should bring this out as well. I'm going over Galatians this week and the next 2 weeks. And the way I'm going to do this is hopefully it's enjoyable. You might not like it, but if you don't like it, look at it this way. If you don't like it, it only lasts 2 more weeks. But I'm going to be looking at the book of Galatians. And so if you have a Bible you like to write in, there's a good opportunity. Now, if you don't, that's okay. If you're like one of those people that are like, I don't want to write in my Bible, that's great. You can get an app on your phone. You can write notes. However you want to do it might be a good opportunity to do such a thing. But that's, you know, I'll allow you guys to make that decision on your own. But basically what it comes down to is this. As Paul goes to all these churches, he has these missionary journeys. And then when he has downtime, he writes letters to them. A lot of times because of things that he heard along the way. And a lot of times whenever Paul is present, it almost feels like chaos. There's actually people that enjoy it when Paul leaves because they feel like things are so crazy when he's around. But then when they leave and when things start settling down, that's when some things start getting out of control. And so Paul will write letters to them. And a lot of the letters that are in our Bible are exactly that. Paul writing letters to these churches that are kind of going downhill in a certain way. And Paul usually starts by talking a lot of flattery. Oh, it's great to hear from you. It's great to do this. And he brings out a lot of the positive things, but then after a while, he eventually says, hey, I've heard some things about you. Not really that way, though, with this letter. With this letter, it's like, hey, this is great to writing you, but you've been doing some really bad stuff. What have they been doing? Well, it's an ancient heresy called to be a Judaizer. They were bringing back the laws of the Jews. They were bringing back those laws, all the temple ceremonies, all the rites and passages and all these things, and they were bringing them all back and saying, hey, you're a Christian now, but as a Christian, guess what? Now you got to do this. And you have all these more rules and laws that you had to do. And so Paul is talking about that, and he says, hey, before you had faith, you were held captive under the law. You were imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So that then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. Now, we read stuff like this and it sounds all well and good. And it's great. We're like, okay, that's great. But then we talk about things like the Ten Commandments. And we talk about the law of God. And how do we really make this fit? How do we make this jive in our minds? And Paul is actually giving us the clue, the key, to being able to kind of understand that concept. The law holds you captive. You know how it is when you really want to do something, but they say, don't do it. And you're stuck just left there going, oh man, I really want to do that thing though. You know, that's the law. The law is crushing you. The law is telling you no. The law is saying you can't do that. Even if you want to, you can't do that. And so in the ancient world, they would follow all these laws hoping that they would kind of avoid doing those things in order to earn something. Almost like a job. Okay, I'm going to avoid doing all of these things, or I'm going to do all of these things. And then because I'm going to do all of these things, then I'm going to earn something. I'm going to get something. The law before faith imprisons. It locks you up. That was the point of the law. But, Paul says, something's different now. Now, this is a lot, so I'm not going to read it all to you. But what it boils down to here is Paul says, hey, as a baptized child of God, you are an heir. You're an heir. You have inherited. You have been redeemed by Christ Jesus. You are, having put on Christ, you are a son of God, son or daughter of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, you see, a few years back, I saw a Facebook post. Yes, a Facebook post. Even my acquaintances, I follow them on Facebook. You never know. Well, he was posting about how his little brother inherited a car. In fact, he inherited a 1965 El Camino. What did he do? Well, the thing he wanted to do all along, he painted it orange. Hey, I don't know. He paid a lot of money for that paint job, though. It looked nice. It looked really nice. He cleaned it all out. He made repairs. He redid and reworked the entire engine. From what I understand, if you want to get in that car, practically you have to take your shoes off. But you see, that's just it. That's the difference between being imprisoned by the law versus inheriting. Not inheriting the law, but inheriting the good things. He was still particular about that car. He still didn't eat in it. He still didn't drink in it. He still didn't do any of those things. He kept that car in pristine condition. But now, it wasn't because he was locked up with the law. It wasn't because his dad was off on his back going, you better do this. Instead, it was because it was his car. It was his car, and he recognized that this was the right thing to do. He recognized that this was the correct way to do these things, and that this was the way you should treat your car. Now, you and I can disagree with that. It's not our car. We haven't inherited that car, but we have inherited the very justification given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. That is your justification. That is your forgiveness. It is yours. You have inherited it. You are an heir. It's yours. Now, what does that mean? Are we going to have a lot of ceremonial rules and laws that we have to follow? No. But does it also mean that there's a certain way of life that we understand, that we respect, that we honor, that we move forward? Yes, absolutely. This is how we look at the Ten Commandments. We look at the Ten Commandments and we say, wow, God has really given us a great way to live. Are there times when it restricts us? Sure, absolutely. Are there times when it curbs us from doing what is wrong or bad? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, we also look at the Ten Commandments and go, we are heirs. We are heirs of our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus. We have put on Christ, and we are heirs. When the fullness of time had come, Christ came. And that is the difference. And this impacts everything, by the way. It impacts everything. When we venture out to do good works, we don't do good works because we're restricted. We don't do good works because we're imprisoned. We do good works because our loving Father first loved us. And out of love, and out of grace, and out of mercy, we go forth to do good things. Think about even in our church world. This is one of those concepts that I absolutely love. If you're sitting in our pew right now, and you are a member of our church, or maybe you're about to become a member, right? It is New Member Sunday. This is your church. How much of it? All of it. It's your church. It's your pews. It's your carpet. It's your wall, windows. This is yours. When you give offerings, you are not giving offering to some nebulous organization that's off on the side. You're giving offering to your church. You get a say. You go to voters' meetings. You get to vote. You get to talk about it. This is your church. If you are a young little kid who's sitting in your pew right now, this is your church. This is yours. We are stewards of the church. And there are people that are a lot older than us, and maybe if Christ doesn't return, they'll eventually pass away. And guess what? The people that are coming up will take over and take charge and so on and so forth. This is your church. You are inheritors of this church, you might say. And so we're going to treat it in a certain way. We're going to act in a certain way. We're going to be in a certain way. I think that's a great way to understand what we're talking about today. You have been justified by Christ crucified. You have been justified by the very blood of the Son of God, given and shed for you. You're going to be partakers of it here in a little bit. Receive His true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful gift. But it's not a prison. It's a gift. You have inherited such a wonderful blessing. Such a wonderful blessing that you will spend eternity with your Heavenly Father, not because you earned it, not because you worked hard, not because you did the right ceremonies at the right time, but because you are a baptized child of God. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please.